And on this episode, we'll be discussing the films Hotel Mumbai, The Man Who Killed Hitler and Then the Bigfoot, Gloria Bell, and Shazam. You can reach us at thehodgepodgepodcast@gmail.com or over on our website, thehodgepodgepodcast.com, or head on over to YouTube and iTunes and subscribe, or look for us on Facebook, search for The Hodgepodge Podcast, and like our page. We are doing our Shazam review on this episode because Matt is probably not going to see it, so we don't have to wait for him to see it this weekend when it comes out.
That's fact.
We saw the early screening. Dirty A and I saw the early screening, not together, but we saw it separately. You went to the early
just
show,
the
right?
Way I like it.
Right. You went to the early,
I guess,
screening.
I don't know how. Were there only two?
I think during the day there was only two.
Yeah,
so
I was
one
at
7 and
4
one at 4.
O'clock.
Yeah, I went at 7 because I had to work. I had to work that day.
But I mean, they were all, it wasn't like one theater. I mean, it was
No. It was all over the place. Yeah. What is happening? Dumbo won the box office.
Sure.
Yeah. Dumbo.
You saw that.
I saw Dumbo.
Yeah.
I forgot about it already. You can skip Dumbo. It's not that great. Dumbo is cute, of course, but, you know, the cartoon is all talking animals and there are no talking animals in this, and it's all replaced with, like, horrible human beings.
So it's, like, basically a completely different story.
Sort of. It's the same beats.
I mean, okay, we have a flying elephant that's looking
it's
for
the same,
mama,
right.
But that's it.
It's the same beats, but, like, yeah. Like the humans are, like, all the villains are cartoonishly bad in it, and it's just, like, and then that just makes them bad. And then it's just a real mess. The whole thing's a mess. And, everything about it is just weird. It's just a weird, weird movie. I don't think Tim Burton was the guy to direct that one. And then there's everyone's talking about Thandi Newton's daughter who's in it, she's like the spitting image of her mother. Unfortunately for her, Thandi Newton got all the acting ability in the film because she is, I mean, she's very young, so I'll give her a break, but like, she just like stands there just like stone faced and then just like she smiles from time to time. But she's not a good actress. I mean, she's just like, it's like,
just like Brie Larson.
You shut up. I'll kill you. Take this and that. We're back.
Yeah.
That was a crazy edit, but we're back. Avengers tickets are supposedly going on sale tomorrow, I guess.
Don't tell everybody.
This
don't tell
this,
us.
This won't post
don't
until
tell
after
us two people.
This won't post until after we've gotten our tickets.
Ha, suckers.
Suckers. Yeah. Looking forward to that. I've been continuing my Marvel rewatch. I got through your favorite movie last night, Thor.
Nope. I wouldn't. You couldn't pay me to rewatch that movie.
The first one?
Any of them.
Really? Well, not Ragnarok. You like Ragnarok.
Like, okay, Ragnarok.
Yeah, well, then shut the hell up. Also, watch Incredible Hulk. I gotta say, I like Mark Ruffalo, but I think Ed Norton was the better Hulk.
I like Ed Norton too.
He's a better Bruce
that
Banner.
That was not his fault. He was a better Bruce Banner.
Because
it
Ruffalo,
was that was all Lee's. No, he did the
He did Eric Bana.
Who was it that did things?
Louis Leterrier.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I like Ed Norton better. And I love Mark Ruffalo, but like he has become way too jokey as Bruce Banner.
Yeah, hello, you're a genius scientist.
Yeah. But not just that. I mean, you've got this thing inside you that like, I mean, I'm not saying he's got to be
a rage monster.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's got to be Debbie Downer all the time, but I mean like in Ragnarok, he was like way too like jokey.
And then
also in Infinity War.
I agree 100%. That's not the persona that Bruce Banner is supposed to have.
And I was talking to my buddy about it on Facebook because
granted, he did have to go away for a long time to sort things out.
Yes. But I was talking to my buddy online about it and talking about the Hulk, and he's like, I always forget that like Ty Burrell and Tim Roth and Liv Tyler are like Marvel Cinematic Universe, right. they're in the family of that.
Yeah.
And I said, it's really shitty that they never brought Liv Tyler back. You know, Betty Ross is like his the love of his life.
It's kind of hard to fit all that together.
They could have brought her back. They brought her father back.
But the problem is, from a storyline perspective, all they really wanted was Hulk.
Well, I know, but I mean, shit.
I'm just saying.
But
Bruce Banner is just really a side character, which is why they're okay with pretty much, hey, do whatever create whatever you want, because we care about Hulk.
Right. I mean, and then, of course, instead Joss Whedon does this ham-fisted fucking quote-unquote romance with Black Widow, which is just dumb.
Yeah, that's really
it
dumb.
Makes no sense.
That's terrible.
I went to go get you in India, and now we're in love. Yeah, what? That was your job.
That was stupid.
It was dumb. It's just dumb.
The Bruce Banner personality from Mark Ruffalo has never worked for me. It's just weird.
He's too goofy. He's too goofy. But that's the way they write it. I mean, because Mark Ruffalo can definitely do drama.
Oh, of course. Like that's
spotlight all day. So, Ed Norton. The Incredible Hulk is a really underrated Marvel movie. And then you have Tim Blake Nelson, who was supposed to be the leader eventually, and then that didn't work out.
Yeah.
He was going to end up being the leader,
that's
and that didn't
true.
Happen, which sucks. Because he's a good villain. Until recently, they had a dearth of good villains. But anyway.
But you're right. That is an underrated movie.
Yeah. So I've got, about 3 weeks, I guess, to finish up the rest of the movies. So.
Or, hear me out.
Don't do it.
Don't.
I'm trying to see if I can do it. Our friend was trying to put together like the marathons. I was like, I can't do that. I got stuff to do. I got to space it out so I can watch a movie here and there. On the weekends, I'll watch a few and stuff like that. Thor is okay, but you know what about Thor? The first Thor, at least, I thought he and Natalie Portman had pretty good chemistry in that movie together. It was the second movie that was terrible, but I think in the first movie
I didn't
like
either one of them.
I think in the first movie they were fine together. But anyway,
In the second movie, the biggest problem. Well, besides the script.
The villain.
Was, besides that, too. Yeah, everything's bad. See, I can't even... I was going to say...
I remember Matt was like, I saw it again, and it was a little bit better.
What's her face?
Darcy.
Darcy.
Kate
Katnennings. Just fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. They shoehorned her into that. She didn't fit in that one at all.
No.
But I liked her in Thor, too. I liked her in the original Thor. She was fine in that one. And those characters will never be heard from again.
That's true.
Thor's
in love? Shh. No, he's not.
Yeah, apparently with Captain Marvel from the last trailer. They've released a bunch of posters.
That
and stuff
doesn't
like
that. Really mean he's in love with
him.
No, he just
says,
I like this one.
I know, but, Who thought Black Widow was in love with the Hulk?
That's true.
She drew a gun on him. Now we're in love.
Well, I mean, he did throw his hammer at her.
True.
So there's a metaphor there.
That's love. Yeah. Marvel has released like all their character posters and stuff like that for Endgame, and Valkyrie is going to be in this movie, which people didn't know, so... That was a little reveal that they put out there, I guess. So Valkyrie's going to be in it. That is cool. The movie is going to be 3 hours.
That's not cool.
It's going to be very long.
That is. It makes you wonder why they didn't. Well, there's no part one and part two because
it is part one and part two.
This is part two. But
should have been part three.
Yeah, 3 hours is going to be
bladder buster.
Even if it's a super great movie, which I hope it will, probably will, because there's no reason to think it won't,
right?
Given its pedigree,
right?
But that's a long fucking movie to sit through.
It is
3 hours. No matter how good it is, you're going to be looking at your clock, going,
"How long was Dark Knight Rises?" That was like 2:45, wasn't there? Something like that. That was a long one.
It was around that.
2 hours and 44 minutes.
Yeah.
Dark Knight Rises. So this is It's about 20 minutes longer because it's just a hair over 3 hours.
That movie really felt long. Like you felt how long The Dark Knight Rises was.
Yeah. The Dark Knight was shorter, but not by much, I don't think.
Under 2.5.
No, it was 2:32. Oh, okay. It was a Dark Knight, okay. 2:32. So about 12 minutes shorter.
Yet perfect.
Yeah, that movie's fantastic. I don't care what anybody says. When people get their little nitpicks out, I'm like, fuck you, that movie's fantastic. It's perfect.
Speaking of, Gotham's Joker was revealed.
Who cares? Who's like a Jerome?
I guess the series is
oh yeah, it ends. Okay. It ends this year.
I think
year.
It ends
Thank
on
God.
Him as becoming
Batman. It's like fully, it's like small
Joker.
Yeah, him.
No, you get to see like that.
Oh, whatever. Who gives a fuck? Yeah. That show sucks. And then I've heard about. I haven't watched the trailer.
They really ruined that show.
I haven't watched
with
the
what they with where they decided.
Oh
to
yeah, 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 yeah. And I haven't watched the trailer yet, but I've heard about this Pennyworth show that they're going to do. About it's a prequel
show
with
Alfred.
Oh my God, it sounds just as bad.
Horrible.
It's from the producers of Gotham.
Horrible.
Now on another note, I don't know if I mentioned this on
because on Gotham he's like an ex. MI6,
and that's fine if they want to do that.
But you
it's
know,
like,
you know, they're not going to just focus on that.
He could be fighting the ventriloquist or some shit, probably.
Anyway. Anyway.
But on another note, I don't know if I mentioned this on an earlier episode, but I actually, DC Universe did their, they did like a free week or whatever you could, you know, watch. They put certain episodes, like the Twilight Zone, the first episode of Twilight Zone is available for free right now. So they did the same thing. They, like the first episode, Doom Patrol, Titans, and Young Justice Outsiders. And I watched Titans, the first episode. Wasn't bad. I liked it. I mean, it wasn't terrible.
Well, I wouldn't think they'd go and put out a bunch of shit.
Right.
I mean, of course not.
I might actually get DC Universe with all the crap they're putting out. And also, that's going to be like the Disney thing.
Good for Brendan Fraser for finding his place.
As a voice of a robot.
As a voice of a robot. He's gotten shit on so many times by Hollywood.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
He's in the flashbacks as the character, but he's not in the suit. Neither is Matt Bomer. He's not in the suit.
I mean that makes sense.
Right. But my face is too pretty. You can't cover it up all the time. But no, DC Universe is like the Disney Plus, where it's going to have everything that's DC related. So Justice League is on there. The cartoon. All the old TV shows are on there. Like they showed like a trailer and they're like the Shazam TV show. I mean, what the fuck? What are like
from
two episodes?
70s
yeah. Like those two episodes or some shit. So it's like, they got everything on there. And plus they also have comic books, that you can go on there and digitally look at the comic books. Stuff
that's
like that.
Cool.
So if I just, I'm probably going to sign up for their free trial. Cause I want to see how,
I feel like it should be downloadable content though. If it's going to be comic books,
but that's the thing. If you're paying for
free downloads, because who wants to read a comic on a TV screen?
I mean, you can probably watch it on a tablet. You can probably read it on a tablet.
Sure. Okay.
But I just want to see where, like, if the comics are all up to date, basically, with what's in the store right now. Because if that's the case, I might get it and just be like, buy comic books because they take up space and they're expensive and it's getting to be ridiculous. I'll keep some stuff that I'll go get physically, but it's just like, sorry, man, I don't have the space. I need more room for my Funko Pops. Which I've kind of...
And your books.
And my books. Yes. I kind of worked it out. I was at work today, and I was kind of working out the numbers. And probably episode 190 will be our talk about Maxim Ultra.
I was at work today doing anything but work.
I was in the bathroom, thank you very much, and I was thinking about
where
it.
You do all your best thinking.
I do all my best writing and thinking. My book Maxim Ultra comes out
April
16th.
And that's where you got the inspiration for your ultra villain, the Turd Monster.
That was Dogma, wasn't it? The Turd Monster was in Dogma?
Yeah.
I can never remember if it was in Dogma or Jane Bob Strike Back.
Dogma, yeah.
Did you hear Ben Affleck might be in the reboot, the Jane Silent Bob reboot?
Yeah, I heard he'd be okay with being in it. So.
That'd be good. My book Maxim Ultra comes out April 16th. So as we're recording this, just 2 weeks from now. I'm excited. I'm really excited. I'm going to do like a post of like actors that I see in the parts, basically, if I cast it as a movie. And I had the robot character. Obviously, I can't find anything online that looks like him. So I had to draw him. And I drew it today and it came out great. And I was like,
cool.
Yay! And I awesome. Scanned it and sent it to myself. So I'll be posting that soon. So go to jdouglassimpson.com and you can get in on the fun. and please buy my book. So it's really good. Objectively, I think it's really good.
Are you saying that's not part of the fun?
What, the book?
Yeah.
Yeah, the book's part of the fun.
You said it as if it was... That's not part of the fun.
It is part of the fun. It's a lot of fun. I like it.
Yeah, look forward to it.
I'm really excited to have readers meet these characters because I had a blast writing it. Okay, so let's talk about these fucking movies. And I shouldn't say it like that because three of them are really good.
They're good.
One of them, not so much. So let's talk about Hotel Mumbai. This is It is based on a true story. It's directed by Anthony Morris, who also co-wrote the screenplay with John Colley. And it is based on the true story of the Taj Hotel terrorist attack in Mumbai.
2008.
It was 2008. Okay. It was literally at the end of the month that Obama was first elected.
You know what's really sad? I don't even remember that.
I do. I remember. I didn't remember how bad the attack.
When I saw that, I was like,
right.
This happened.
Yeah.
And fucking, I don't even remember it.
Yeah.
That shows how terrible, like, we are on covering world events.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
It's fucking sad.
Yeah, instead we're talking about President Dipshit and right. his, you know.
Well, no, not. I mean, even then.
But then again, at the same time, in our defense in this one regard, that was also when the economy was going right in the fucking shitter.
Yeah.
So it's like, that was kind of consuming the news here for the most part. But I didn't realize how bad this was. Like, I thought they had just attacked the hotel.
Oh, man.
But what happened was, I mean, these guys...
Systematic attack.
There was like 12 different sites,
12
right?
locations,
something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And they just went out with like machine guns and just were like...
Yeah.
Just
indiscriminately killing
people.
Yeah.
Oh, it was disgusting. I really liked this movie. I mean, as much as you can say that for a movie with this subject matter.
It was super tense.
It's super tense. It's sad. It's really sad
at
the end.
Oh, God. I did not see that coming.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm not surprised that happened, but...
But
yeah. Yeah. But it's really good. It's really good. It's at a 64 on Metacritic, so I guess some people are not feeling it. But, I mean, I wouldn't say it's like an A+ movie, but it
told a very solid story and it was impactful.
Right.
It's a better,
based on a true story movie than we've seen in a lot of other places,
yeah.
You know, because they do the same thing that they do in a lot of other movies where they have like the different characters that they follow and stuff like that. And then you get to know them and see how the terrorist action affects them.
Mostly,
like
it mostly focuses on, on the one family, but yeah,
right.
It does.
But then also Dev Patel's character,
of course, yeah.
And then the chef who was his big role, his big American role, because he's a big Bollywood actor.
Sure.
But his big American role was he was Bradley Cooper's therapist in Silver Linings Playbook. He was
that's
Cliff.
Not where I know
Cliff.
Him from. That's not where
I know him
from.
And but the reason why I love him so much is because he has the greatest line for an Eagles fan in cinema, where he goes, "DeSean Jackson is the man."
That's why you remember that shit. That's the only reason why you remember.
And
that.
And DeSean Jackson, they just traded back for him, and now he's back on the Eagles again. So,
but yeah, this is a fantastic movie. You know, like I agree with you. It's not like it's. Stellar, spectacular, A+ movie, but
it's
very
really good.
Solid,
very powerful. Dev Patel plays Arjun. He is a waiter at the Taj Hotel. I want to call it Hotel Mumbai, but that's not the name of the hotel. He's a waiter at the Taj, and you follow him, and he has a very young family. His wife is pregnant, and they already have a daughter. It also shows kind of the caste system there with the living conditions.
Sure.
Like, you know, he's a service individual, so like there's
very limited.
He's very poor.
It's not like they go into
no, they
that,
really don't.
But
really
you
don't.
Do subtly see that.
But he's a very poor guy, and he works at this extravagant hotel.
Right.
Armie Hammer's in this. He plays David, an American who is married to let me get her name right, Nazanin Boniada, who plays Zara, and she is...
I don't think they made it clear exactly
how she
was famous.
Yeah, but
it was clear that she was famous.
She was famous or well-known... maybe not a celebrity, but she was a well-known individual.
Yes.
Or maybe a connected individual. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe government-wise. Or
family money.
Somehow
she was a
known...
They're
rich. They're fucking rich.
Somehow she was a known person.
Right. And she is married to Armie Hammer's character.
Yes.
Anupam Kher, who is...
And they just had a newborn.
Right. And they have a baby boy. Anupam Kher, who is the chef we were talking about, he plays... Oberoi, the chef, and like I said, he is,
and he's basically this is a chef at a restaurant at what we would consider a five star type of hotel,
right?
It's no nonsense,
right?
Everything's got to be perfect,
right?
And run specifically to his specifications.
Well, their motto is guest is God.
Yes,
that's their motto, and Jason Isaacs also shows up in this as a Russian. Russian guy.
Interesting character.
Yeah, yeah. So the other thing that this movie does is it really also follows the terrorists. This isn't a thing where they become like these faceless people. It follows them and how they're in constant contact with their handler, with their leader, who's Brother Bull. You don't see him. He only communicates with them via phone. And he's giving them orders and stuff like that. And just the stuff he says is just like, he just says it so nonchalant.
It's all like propaganda.
Right, right. He said, all the commands he gives them are so nonchalant, but they're so horrific. You know, like, leave the phones on so everyone can hear their screaming. You know, it's just like, ugh, it's gross. But it's a very powerful film. I liked it a lot. It was very...
But yeah, you imagine
very
people...
Moving.
You know, they have these 12 locations that they're bombing, and it all comes to an impasse at this hotel.
Right.
Because
that's their final target.
Because that's their final target. So they all end up at this hotel, and they basically, you have a number of guests who are trying to hide.
Right.
And they all end up, a lot of them end up hiding in the what's called the something chambers, the
it's
captain's
like, it's,
chambers.
Yeah, it's like an exclusive club in the hotel.
And it's basically it got an exclusive kitchen in it. So the head chef that we were talking about,
he evacuates,
kind of leads them all in
there.
And they've got at some point they have over 50, somewhere between 50 and 100 people, I think, in there.
Yeah.
And then you have Patel's character,
mm-hmm.
who ends up leaving the safety of that area to try to help other people.
Yeah.
And throughout the movie, what you have is a large amount of the focus is on the family that we talked about earlier, because they're separated.
Yeah, they get
separated. Armie Hammer is not with, or they are initially.
Right.
But yeah, he ends up going to get the baby,
right,
who is with the
nanny.
With the nanny and back in the room,
right,
and she stays, so they end up
getting
separated and split apart, and the movie focuses a lot on them two trying to get back together,
right.
Which intersects with how the terrorists are killing everybody,
right? Yeah. Definitely check out Hotel Mumbai if you can see it. I want to say it said it was in select theaters this past weekend, but yeah, it was here. So
it's definitely worth watching. I had no idea.
Yeah.
And that was horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember seeing trailers for it last year and I was like, ooh, I want to see that. And now it finally came out. So yeah, definitely check out Hotel Mumbai. Before we get into,
I meant the events were horrible.
Right. Yeah.
Not the movie.
No. Yeah. Yeah, because they ended up killing well over 100 people.
Yeah.
And actually, when they were saying, like, before they actually got into the hotel and all that stuff, and they were saying, oh, there's 70 people dead. I was like, that's it?
Yeah.
Like,
from
when they were out in the crowd. I mean, because
it's
Mumbai. I mean, like, it's packed. I mean, it's densely packed with humanity.
I'm sure there's a lot more injuries.
Probably, yeah. Real quick, I saw Gloria Bell because I was trying to get Laura Branigan's Gloria out of my head. Didn't work, And that never works. Gloria Bell is stars Julianne Moore. And if you...
And Heartthrob John Turturro.
And it is written... it was directed by Sebastian Lelio. And there's a bunch of writers... there's a bunch of writers involved. Three writers involved, including the director. Julianne Moore plays Gloria, who is a divorcee in her 50s, but she's been divorced for a while. She has adult children, played by Michael Cera, and the daughter is played by... Wait, my phone is going crazy. Who is the daughter? The daughter is played by Karen Pistorius. And then Holland Taylor plays Julianne Moore's mother. It's a great cast. Rita Wilson plays her best friend. And
Rita Wilson, huh?
Yeah. And her ex-husband is played by Brad Garrett, and his current wife is played by Jean Triplehorn. Haven't seen her in a long time.
Yeah, wow.
So it's a pretty stacked cast, and John Turturro basically meets Gloria in a disco because she likes to dance. She's a very free-spirited woman, so she works for an insurance company, and they meet and they kind of have this tentative romance. But he is very he tells her he's been divorced for a year and he has two adult daughters, but they are apparently very needy, and he is basically like a slave to their wants and needs, basically. And he can't kind of break free from that. And that's the conflict between him and Gloria as they try to forge this relationship. Watch out for Sean Astin also in a very, very surprising role.
A Hobbit?
No.
Okay.
It was good. Gloria Bell was good. About two-thirds in, I really liked it. And then the last third, it kind of lost me a little bit. I was just like, what? But Julianne Moore is fantastic in it. She's so good in this. And if you also like to see Julianne Moore naked, go see Gloria Bell. Because she gets naked a lot in this movie. I enjoyed it for the most part. It's like I said, the last third just kind of was like, yeah, I don't know about that. Let's talk about this movie that we saw at the Alamo, where there was a Q&A with the director, the writer and director.
And
one of the actors who, and let me get his name right.
Sean Bridgers.
Was it Sean or Shane?
Sean. See, you're getting it confused with Ian McShane because he is also in Deadwood.
Yeah, right. Sean Bridgers, who is on who's on Deadwood. He was also in Room. That's where you'll know him from. He was the kidnapper / rapist. Yay, on Room. Yay. They did a Q&A at the end of the movie, which was nice. It was interesting to
It's always fun to get a director's POV on how and the process, and then you get dumb questions from the audience too.
Yeah, the writer and director is Robert Krzyzkowski, and it stars. The movie is called, The Man Who Killed Hitler and Then the Bigfoot.
It's a title that grabs you,
but the movie
not so much.
Sam,
I think you definitely did not like it as much as I did, but we're not far off.
Sam Elliott plays the lead. He plays Calvin Barr, who is it's set in the 80s. His parts are set in the 80s,
yeah.
Where he is a retired Army vet, and he has a lot of flashbacks to World War II, where his character is played by Aidan Turner, who was also known as they called him the hot dwarf in The Hobbit. He was the one who tried to get with Evangeline Lilly.
Yeah.
Remember? Yeah. And he's also been in a lot of stuff. He was in the BBC's miniseries of and then there were none, which was the play I did. He played Lombard.
He's in a lot of BBC.
Yeah. Sean Bridges is in this as well. Ron Livingston's in this. Larry Miller's in this. He plays Sam Elliott's younger brother. That's right. Eller Coltrane himself, Boyhood himself, is in this in a very bit part. And Caitlin Fitzgerald is also in it. She plays a woman from Calvin's past.
Yeah.
His
fiance. Oh, no.
So basically, from the title, you would expect this movie to be some kind of wacky exploitation film, with a lot of crazy action and stuff like that. And it's not. Although there are moments when the tone does go that way.
And that's not a problem, per se.
To me, the tone being all over the place was a problem.
No. I'm sorry. The title is not... The title right. making it sound like it could be something
right.
that's not. I mean, to me, that's purposeful.
Right.
That's a juxtaposition
right.
Of,
right.
of what the movie's about, because it's a character study.
It's a character study about Calvin Barr. Yeah. And basically, the gist is that he regrets... he regrets the violence in his life and his past, and he's trying to live with it.
The theme of reluctant heroes, and,
right,
and how they view themselves and live with what they've done.
And you said it perfectly after the movie finished. You understood what they were going for,
yeah,
but they didn't quite get there. And
right.
that's exactly how I felt about
yeah,
it. I understood what they were going
100%.
For. 100%. Here's the problem.
That's why I didn't. I'll use the word hate, but that's strong.
Right.
That's why I didn't hate it as much
right.
as you, because I...
I wouldn't say I hated it.
I know,
I mean,
that's why I said
Sam Elliott.
Strong.
Sam Elliott's
yeah,
great
yeah,
in it, you
yeah.
know, but...
But I maybe appreciated more what was strived for. I think most of it was budgetary. He said...
I don't know. I think it was the script.
I mean, it could
be. It was
the
script.
It could be,
but
the guy said they had to do this in 25 days.
Right, right.
And that they didn't have money to do all kinds of stuff.
Here's the problem I had with it, ultimately. You know, I'm all for a character study and, you know, that you want to delve into this guy's psyche. You know,
yeah.
I'm totally all for that. Here's the problem. The guy's upset that he killed Hitler.
Yeah.
Hitler.
Yeah.
It's like, if they had shown, like, flashbacks where he killed like 100 guys in World War II. Like he's like the Punisher. And he's like, oh, I'm living with all this guilt. That I could have lived with.
I mean, you're right. He was upset that he killed Hitler, but it goes further than that, right? He's more upset. I don't know. See, this is because it
because he explicitly says that.
Yeah, but he's upset that he killed this guy, but
right.
he didn't change anything.
Because
this movie, this, I don't know, spoilers, I don't know what we're doing here, it doesn't matter.
Right? No, I mean.
This movie presupposes that there was,
doubles.
That there were, Hitler had doppelgangers out there,
yeah.
like, that were,
like
people,
Saddam Hussein
people
did,
costumed
you know. Yeah.
like him, and that there were at least three different versions.
Right.
And he killed the real Hitler, but then there were two other that went on to basically do still portray the same evil.
Right.
And Sam Elliott's character is, what's his name?
Calvin
Barr. He basically has this, you know, soliloquy about three quarters of the way through, maybe a little.
Yeah.
It's quite a bit into it where he basically says, look, you know, I killed a man.
Right.
But his evil was already out there. So he was upset that he killed a man. And it did not solve anything.
Right.
I don't know.
But I don't know. It's like, to me, it came across to me as like he was, you know, I killed him. You know, he had it coming. But, to me, it just would have worked better if he had been like this fucking death machine in World War II. And then he feels guilt over that.
Well, it also, the character... The public persona of the character didn't make sense to me because that would have been super classified.
Right.
Yet somehow the FBI knows about it.
Right.
current day FBI right. knows about it. And also, that was his only mission, yet somehow that qualified him
for this thing coming up where they
want his help, and it's like that doesn't right. track.
So here's
you need him to have had more of a adventures. War backstory. Yeah.
But here's the other yeah. thing too. It's like, so if he's this guy who didn't want to kill people or whatever, then why was he selected as the guy to go fucking kill Hitler? It's like stuff that didn't make sense. It just didn't jive.
Well,
What made him
possibly explain that away by saying he was young and he didn't know the impact of killing someone would have on him.
No. But what I'm saying is, why was he chosen for this mission? Right. You know, like, why was he chosen?
Right. It never goes into that.
Yeah. Like, it shows he's a skilled fighter in right. the beginning, but you never really see that in the flashbacks. You never see Aiden Turner kicking a lot of ass. No. So that it lost me there. And then, like you said, why is he qualified now to go do this other thing?
Other than they basically explain that away by saying, you know, you have a rare blood type that makes you right. immune.
Right. Convenient.
Yeah.
But he, and we can say what it is because it's in the trailer. Yeah, sure. I watched the trailer. The Bigfoot apparently is the last one of its kind, and it's apparently sick.
Well, I think this presupposes it was always just one of a kind.
Maybe, yeah.
Anyway.
But anyway, the Bigfoot's sick, and he basically carries, like, the whole, like, the super flu. He carries, like, super flu, basically. Yeah. Like, Captain
he's
Trips.
He's killing off just swarms of wildlife and people.
Yeah, anybody who comes in contact
in a Canadian region, and he's moving south.
He's moving towards the United States. Yeah. And so, apparently Calvin Barr is immune to the flu or whatever, so he's the one who has to go in.
So he's sent in to hunt down, track, and kill the Bigfoot.
Which he does in 5 minutes.
which is apparently easier than we thought.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, so it's just like, to me, the tonal shifts just didn't jive. Because it's like I said, when he's starting to arm up to go get the Bigfoot, they do like the whole like crazy zooms and stuff like that. Yeah. I'm like, what is this, a Power Rangers film now? Like, what is going on here?
Yeah, it was weird. They just had weird stuff that you're mm-hmm. like, this makes no sense. Where, like, this is the FBI, and this clearly would become out of control, a global killer.
Right, yeah.
Yet the guy's like, we didn't have the right arsenal, so I brought my own stuff to choose from. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about? You would have all the arsenal in the world. Yeah. Like, what are you talking about bringing in your own
Ron
shit?
Livingston's character, I mean, he was fine in the part, but the character doesn't fit. He does not fit in this movie, the way the movie was built up.
No.
And then the love story worked for me here and there. I think they kind of beat that to death at the end. They beat that to death at the end. I was just like, come on. It's like, get on with it.
That goes to your point about the end that you stated after the movie, which I agree with 100%, which is tonally how it doesn't work because it goes on too long.
Yeah.
When you have the climax of a movie like that, which is clearly his fight with Bigfoot,
right?
You expect no more than 5 to 10 minutes after that
Not this movie.
It goes on for another 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And you're just going... Huh.
I'm looking at my watch like, what the fuck is going on here?
Huh, okay.
Oh, and spoiler alert, they totally pull a Mud, too.
And then it's like, Jesus Christ, how long did it take them to presume him dead and have a funeral and then have him show back up?
Yeah.
Like, a lot didn't work. The themes of the movie are great.
Right, yeah, the themes are fine.
So, when you're thinking about this movie and kind of outlining it, it makes better sense. Mm-hmm. Than the end product that we get.
Right. No, yeah. I mean, again, it's like you said. I appreciate what he was going for, but he does not hit the mark.
He did have a grand idea.
Right. And he was trying to do kind of a little bit what I did in Great Big World, which is like take all these different genres and stuff and kind of mix them together.
And you missed the mark too.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
But he didn't mesh. Because the tone was not consistent throughout.
It was jumbled.
It was jumbled.
But the acting was good, like you said.
Yeah. Everybody was great.
And Larry Miller was really good.
Yeah.
You could sense the chemistry between the brothers.
Yeah.
And in the little dialogue that they had, which was actually impactful, meaningful, because that's how brothers are. You know, they don't sit there and have a lot of exposition. It's all you know. It's kind of being there.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And that worked really well. I like those scenes with them together.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's hard to really pinpoint all the things that made this miss the mark. For you, it was way off the board. For me, it's kind of on the edge.
Apparently on Rotten Tomatoes, it's fairly high on Rotten Tomatoes, but on Metacritic, it's 50.
Yeah.
And that's pretty accurate to me.
It's about right.
And on IMDb,
and there were people that seemed to really like
really
the movie.
Liked it. Yeah, they really liked it.
And I think. I think if you're a person that's okay with filling in a lot of blanks yourself and just going in with a theme, then you're going to like it a lot better.
I guess, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So that was The Man Who Killed Hitler and then The Bigfoot. Let's talk about a movie that we really liked, both of us separately. And that is Shazam!
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good movie, man.
Shazam is really, really good. Yeah.
Good.
Believe the hype.
Good on you, DC.
Yeah, they.
Not that. That's not fair. As if to say that it's DC, so it can't be a good movie.
Right.
But even
Aquaman, which you didn't like, I liked Aquaman, but I can see all the problems that are in it. It's goofy. Shazam is legitimately a good
movie.
It's
supposed to be goofy, though.
This
is in its element as supposed to be a goofy.
Right.
Movie,
but this is legitimately a good movie.
It is.
It's basically big meat superheroes, which is the basic conceit, and it follows Billy Batson. It's directed by David F. Sandberg, and a bunch of people. It looks like Henry Gayden was the main writer on it. But I'm sure there's multiple writers. Yeah, there's multiple writers on this.
And this is really the DC Universe's first jaunt into coming out and saying, you know, we're not trying to create a universe here. We are doing...
But there are references.
There are tie-ins.
All kinds of references.
But what I'm saying is they're not trying to tie the movies together.
Right, no, yeah.
All right, clearly,
I was so mad at the end, though. I was so mad.
Clearly, with that in mind, that's what they need to be doing. Right. If this is the kind of movie,
right? Yeah, yeah. Do like these vague little things, like what Marvel did in the very beginning.
Yeah,
it's like I always say. Yes, the Marvel blueprint is the best way to do it. But because of the DC characters and how iconic they are, they could have done Justice League first and then spun them all out. It's just that they fucked it all up.
Yeah.
Because
they had no plan.
Right. They could have done it.
They tried to retcon a lot of this and shoehorn things.
Like Marvel, there's no way that Marvel could have done Avengers first with Captain America, Iron Man, who nobody knew who the fuck he was, Thor, nobody knew who the fuck he was really. There's no Black Widow, come on. There's no way you could have done the same thing with Marvel. But with DC, Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern,
everyone
Flash,
knows
Aquaman. People know these characters. Yeah. They've been in the lexicon for decades. And so the Marvel characters, but just not at the same level. Everyone knows Super Friends. Everybody, the Super Friends. Come on,
the Wonder Twins.
Well, they're not
everyone. ever no, not yet. I mean, clearly that movie's coming.
I think it might be.
I would die
anyway. So Shazam focuses on. An orphan played by Asher Angel. His name is Billy Batson, and he's an orphan. He's been bounced around from foster home to foster home, and he's basically on his last chance. Basically, Rosa Vasquez plays Marta, who is going to be his foster mother, and her husband is Cooper Andrews, who plays Victor Vasquez.
He's good.
They're both good.
They're both really good. You're right. But he's clearly got more of a personality in the movie.
Right.
His character is given a little more room to breathe.
Yeah. And she's very hot. So, she really is. But then you've got, so what happens is, Billy Batson is kind of like, a street smart kid.
Yeah.
And his sidekick basically is his foster brother, Freddie.
Reluctant sidekick.
Yeah, reluctant
sidekick. I should say
he's taking it reluctantly on.
He's taking yeah. Because but he's wonderful.
Jack Dylan Grazer plays
freaking perfect.
He's great. He's perfect. He was a lot of fun. So basically what happens is that Billy kind of shows his worth and he is approached or kidnapped, you could say, by Jaiman Honshu, who plays the wizard Shazam, and he gives
him... That's the one weird thing about this movie. Yeah, kidnap a bunch of kids.
And then he gives him... he grants him the powers of Shazam, and then when he says the magic word Shazam, he then becomes Zachary Levi.
But of course, it's not like he's given an instruction manual.
No, he's not.
There's a good montage or two or three in this movie,
right, where he's figuring out
how to do these things, including how do I go back and forth?
Right, right.
He just thinks he's stuck as a superhero adult for quite a while. Right. It's very funny.
It is, and Freddy is big into superheroes and stuff like that. And you got to remember, this is a world where Superman exists and Batman exists and stuff like that. Yeah. So he knows all the tropes
of superheroes,
right?
And so
Shazam goes to him for advice,
yeah,
because he needs help. And Zachary Levi is pitch perfect in this movie. He is fantastic.
Zachary Levi was really so really great. Good. Yeah. You know what? You know I forgive him for getting upset when this movie was first filming, and people were saying it was going to be shit.
Yeah,
he's like,
the costume.
He's basically like, fuck all you people. You haven't seen this. It's a great movie. You know what?
He's right.
You're right.
It's a great movie.
We are sorry, Zachary Levi. It's a great movie.
It's arguably the best DC movie. Yeah. Aside from,
it's really good.
It always has to come with a caveat. Aside from the Nolan films.
And granted, this is a very specific tone of a movie.
Right.
Like it is not taking itself seriously.
Right. Right. It's actually a very heartwarming film because the family thread is very strong in this. For those fans out there who are familiar with Shazam's story, Grace Fulton plays Mary. Okay, so do the math there. As soon as they said her name, I was like, oh! I was like, yeah! So the family thread is very strong throughout it. We're not going to do any spoilers. Mark Strong is the villain. He plays Dr. Savannah, and
a good villain,
really
good for this movie. Perfect.
They really develop him very well. They develop him a lot. In fact, the movie opens
because you don't know that.
The movie opens on him as a kid, and he's very well developed. He was a very good villain. I will say this movie is good for kids. But there is some scary stuff in it. There's some monsters and stuff like that in it. But I would say
I saw it, I didn't hear any kids screaming or anything.
I wouldn't say it's much worse than anything that was in Ghostbusters.
No.
They kind of reminded me of the demon dogs.
It's not something that will just scare the bejesus out of your kids unless they're just scared of everything.
Right, yeah. But there are some dark... some dark moments in this and stuff like that. It's not all light and fun and stuff like that, but for the most part, it's a really fun movie.
This director, what's his name again?
Sandberg.
He found
he directed Lights Out and he directed Annabelle Creation,
which is weird.
Yeah.
But he found this, especially knowing he directed those.
Yeah.
He found this great tone that fits kids as well as adults, and allows them to both enjoy this equally,
right,
without hamming it up to one or the other,
right,
without playing both sides at any given point. The whole movie is perfectly toned in that way.
That also
goes for the actors. They play it that way.
Like I said, don't want to give any spoilers about the movie. It opens on the 5th of April.
Yeah, this coming weekend.
So this episode will come out after it has opened, but definitely check out Shazam. It's well worth your time.
It is.
It's well worth your time. And it's a great superhero placeholder to tide you over until Avengers comes out at the end of the month. Because Captain Marvel's still killing it at the box office. It made still $20 million this weekend. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
The only thing that slightly annoyed me about this movie was I felt that they were maybe giving, for no particular reason, way too many winks and nods to other movie to the other characters.
I felt like
didn't need to be so many,
right?
Especially when the end comes along.
Yeah, I think that was really just to differentiate him from the rest of.
I felt they did that after two, and then they kept going with it, and I was like,
the best is when he's running away from him in the toy store, and then the doll, and it's Kevin Conroy's voice. He goes, "I'm Batman." He goes, "Get him, Batman!" He throws the doll at him.
That's very good. Yeah,
It's really, really fun. Really, definitely
see that movie.
I'm gonna go see it again. I think this weekend, at some point. But yeah, definitely see Shazam. Definitely see Hotel Mumbai. Go see Gloria Bell if you want. It's funny. It's a really funny movie. It's like I said, just the last third or so just didn't ring true for me. And you can probably skip the Hitler guy. The Hitler killed Hitler and the Bigfoot. Maybe catch that when it comes on streaming or something like that.
Yeah.
But that'll do it for this episode of the Hodgepodge Podcast. I would think that next episode we'll probably have Matt here to discuss Pet Sematary. Yes. I'm actually going to go see Pet Sematary.
If you live through it, we will have a...
If I don't break Matt's hand. Hold my hand, quick! I'm scared. No, I'm looking forward to it. We'll see. We'll see if I get any sleep that night. But yeah, we'll see you next time, folks. Thanks for listening.